I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. Welcome, everyone, on this Friday afternoon. We are the only committee, Senate committee that meets on Friday afternoons, for which we get extra credit. Today, we are having a public hearing on Senate Bill 349, and I will have Chris introduce it.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 349 increases the income tax credit from 6% of the federal credit to 18% of the federal credit over the course of 4 years. It ratchets it up from 6 to 9 to 12 to 15 to 18 from tax years 2011 through 2014, and extends the tax credit 1 year through tax year 2014. It's currently scheduled to sunset at the end of 13, so this would extend it 1 year into 14 as the way it's currently drafted.
Okay, we will start out with a panel of honorable legislators, Senator Rosenbaum, Representative Comp, and representing Senator Dingfelder will be Jill Gray. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Senator Morse and Senator Hess, and it's great to be in front of the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. I miss you all, even though I get to see you. I don't get to see you every day, and I definitely miss my participation on this committee.
And we miss you too, Senator Rosenbaum. Senator, for the audience, Senator Rosenbaum, this is the same committee we had last session, lacking our dear Senator Rosenbaum.
So with that sentimental note of support, I want to introduce this hearing and thank you very much for holding a hearing on Senate Bill 349, which will expand Oregon's earned income tax credit and provide real meaningful help to over 200,000 hardworking Oregonians who are struggling every day and for whom getting through the day and getting through the week and the month and paying the bills is not a theoretical problem. It's a daily struggle. As you can see, and we'll hear shortly, I'm joined by a large group of advocates. In fact, there's a veritable tsunami of support for expanding the earned income tax credit, and we believe it should be a priority even in this toughest of legislative sessions, because the bill really represents, we think, the very best approach to a critical problem, that our tax system is hitting the people at the bottom with a higher tax than the people who can most afford it, and that we're one of the few states that really does tax people in this way, people who are living in poverty, who are working full-time, and who mostly have kids and are struggling to get by. So the state earned income tax credit, as you've heard many times before, is the very most targeted way to get help to these working families with children, and the bill simply would expand the current 6% of the federal tax credit scaled in over the next 4 years to 18%. We know that's a hard thing to do in a session where there really need to be priorities that are going to be very difficult ones to choose among. But we think these folks who are, when they hear the stories at night on news, if they can even afford to have a cable TV at home, when they hear that the price of gas is headed up to $4 a gallon, that's not just sort of an interesting app on their phone that they keep track of. It's a daily crisis for them. Are they going to be able to put gas in the tank and get to work tomorrow in order to be able to put food on the table and pay the rent next week? So these are the people that we're talking about. These are the people, some of whom you will be hearing from today, that need the real help that Senate Bill 349 will provide. And even today, on a sunny Friday afternoon in Salem, we believe and thank you for giving this issue your full attention and making it part of any discussion about changes to Oregon's tax system. So thank you very much, Madam Chair and colleagues, for holding the hearing today.
And thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. Representative Comp.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Senator Hatch, Senator Morris. I have come to you in previous sessions. I'm Representative Betty Kopp, and I serve House District 22. I live in Woodburn, Oregon, but I serve Woodburn, Jervis, and North Salem. I have come to you before with a little bit of my story, and so it's hard to always go back and think of these times, so I'm going to stick a little bit to my written testimony. But I come to you today in support of House Bill 349, which it increases earned income tax credit. I am here just not as a legislator, but as an Oregonian whose life has been greatly impacted by economic hardship. As a child, I grew up with 13 brothers and sisters on a small dairy farm. Although my siblings hate it when I use the word poverty, it was the most accurate way to describe our less than ideal circumstances. I'm not ashamed to say this, but how I describe poverty is we did not have money enough to buy a newspaper in our home. We had no books. We were throughout my grade school years, each of us, we made our own dresses. We got two dresses and one pair of shoes for the entire school year. That's poverty. And that's my description of poverty. We didn't always have heat on in our house. We did have a good stomach full of food because we grew our own vegetables and had our own resources on the farm. But we learned very early how to squeeze every penny, squeeze every nickel, squeeze every dime, but plan for the future. And part of this is about how we can help others plan for the future. Because the reality is, just as that was in the 50s for me, with this recession, we see many, many families in the same circumstance today. As a young single mother with four daughters, my life has been full of blessings. But again, we lacked any kind of a luxury. We lived with the basics of life. As a full-time student, worked part-time, and one year I counted up my income because I used it as an example when I taught my students about financial planning. We lived on $7,000, and thankfully I had student grants that helped me pay the bills. Every penny that came in the door was counted, and it went somewhere. I did receive Pell Grants, the state aid to assist in paying for my education. But every single month, I struggled to find ways to pay for groceries, the utility bill, let alone the prom dress my daughter was asking for. I worked extra shifts at work, took on extra responsibility, and when I filed my taxes during those late 80s, I realized I was qualified for earned income tax credit. Colleagues, I know that when we sit and debate about hundreds of millions of dollars every day, a small amount like $200, $300, $400 seems insignificant. But for hardworking families like mine, that we were working minimum wage, low wage jobs, struggling to afford the basics, and a few hundred dollars makes a huge difference. Senate Bill 349 is about fairness. It's about protecting our families during these difficult times. And I say, even in these difficult times, and I have been spending the last several months or more looking at education budget and how we're going to do with less dollars in education. But if this would make even less dollars in our revenue, but this helps families survive. I respectfully ask you your support and consideration, as Senator Rosenbaum has shared, with other revenue perspectives, whether it's tax credits, you have the heavy weight of saying, what money do we have to spend? And I would appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. And Chair Burdick and members of the committee, my name is Jill Gray, and I'm the legislative aide for Senator Dingfelder. And unfortunately, Senator Dingfelder isn't able to be here today, but I did hand in some written testimony that she has. And she also asked that I come to speak to you about Senate Bill 349 because I also have a personal story to share about qualifying for the Earned Income Tax Credit. And my story isn't a particularly dramatic one, but it's just of one who was helped out by receiving the EITC. After graduating from school several years ago, I was looking for a job and having a pretty difficult time of it. Eventually, I took a job with a county program, and that was in 2004, and I stayed with that job until the end of 2005 when I got this job working for Senator Dingfelder. Neither the job I had with the county nor my legislative aid job at that time were full-time positions, and so for 2004 and 2005, I qualified for the EITC. The amount of money or the amount of the credit for which I qualified wasn't a huge amount, but for someone who was struggling to pay bills and someone who was starting out in their working life and didn't have a whole lot in a checking or a savings account, it meant a great deal. So now you know that I qualified for the EITC for 2 years, and I learned a few lessons from this experience. The first one is that the people who are assisted by the EITC come from every corner of the state and probably a few places that you wouldn't normally think to look. They can be our neighbors and our friends and even our coworkers. In our office, we've commented that the people who receive the EITC frequently are hiding in plain sight. And I think that that description applies to me. I don't think anyone would have ever guessed that I qualified for the EITC because I had a degree and I had a job, which maybe some people thought was a much more high-paying position than what it really was. But in fact, I did qualify for those 2 years. Another thing I learned was that you can earn very little money and still be rather heavily taxed on it. In 2004, I was earning about $1,200 a month, but I was paying over $200 in taxes. And while $200 may not seem like a great amount of money, for someone earning $1,200, it was a huge amount. And while the EITC didn't completely offset the amount of money I was paying in taxes, it helped. It definitely helped. Lastly, the EITC helped me out at a time when I was struggling to find a job, but I wasn't always going to need the EITC, and it certainly wasn't a tax credit that I wanted to qualify for year after year after year. Instead, I wanted a full-time job with a regular paycheck and really have no need for the EITC at all. And since I was in that position, I know that there are others out there for whom the EITC can help them for a short or limited amount of time while they're moving on and up the economic ladder. Knowing that the EITC helped me to weather a difficult period in my working life, I wonder how many others are out there today who could use a little extra help. I know there are many, probably many, many Oregonians who are in a similar situation as the one I was experiencing in 2004. They're looking for a full-time job or a higher-paying job and not finding one, and so taking all sorts of little jobs just to earn some money. An expanded EITC could really assist them in this challenging time, and so that's why I support Senate Bill 349, and I ask that you do as well.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you all for coming. Okay, we're going to move into our panel of witnesses now, and to make sure that we get everybody who wants to speak an opportunity to speak, I would ask you to keep your comments to 3 or 4 minutes and to feel free to enter any testimony that you wish into the record to expand on what you're saying. And so we will start off with Chuck Sheketoff, Chuck Curry, and Nicole McKinney. Good afternoon, Chuck.
Good afternoon. Chuck Sheketoff, Executive Director of the Oregon Center for Public Policy. It's a pleasure to be here, despite the wonderful weather outside. So maybe someday we'll do that. We've gone to paperless legislature. Maybe we'll get sun in the legislature, too.
I'm in.
So we submitted to the committee three documents that are being going to be handed out by your staff. One, and I'm going to address them very briefly. One is a two-sided document showing overall who pays taxes as a percent of their income. Another is a one-page sheet that says, titled SB 349 Helps Working Families Get Ahead, should be the legislature's top tax expenditure priority. And the third is you're getting a copy of, or saving paper excerpt of, a packet we put together on our website called Earned Income Tax Credit Throughout Oregon, and it shows by Senate and House district the extent to which people in your districts rely upon and the federal and state earned income credit. And the packet that we're handing out, Save Paper, just has the districts of the members of this committee. The reason we handed out this overview is to remind the committee that the overall, our tax system, when you look at all state and local taxes, our tax system is upside down. The lowest income Oregonians pay a larger share of their income towards state and local taxes than any other group. And the sheet shows the changes by Measure 66, both the temporary ones which we're in as well as the permanent ones, starting with 2012, what happens to the overall tax situation. Increasing the earned income credit helps address that problem in a small but important way in making so that, as this bill would do, that the lowest income Oregonians would not pay a tax on their work effort. That would put us, right now, 42 states have income taxes, 42 states plus the District of Columbia, or 41 states in the District of Columbia. And in 11 of the 42 states, people start paying taxes on their work effort below, when they live at poverty or below, and Oregon is the 10th in that list. For a single-parent family of three and for a two-parent family of four, we're also the 10th, and there's 13 of the 40, only 13 of the 42 states tax the work effort of families. That's the threshold when you start paying taxes. And after you get through that threshold, then the question is, what's the extent of your taxes? And our taxes on families at poverty or near poverty, at 125% of poverty, is among the highest in the nation as far as income tax on their work effort. For a three-person family at poverty, which in this is 2009 figures, was $17,102. We were the 10th highest at $34. For a four-person family with an income at 125% of poverty, which was about $27,000, we were the fourth highest tax on their work effort. Raising the earned income credit would address that inequity. The other reason that I would like to point out that we phased in the bill for fiscal responsibility reasons. It would have a bit much bigger price tag if it all went in right away, and we're certainly open to changing the phase-in schedule. Next year, on January 1, the wealthiest Oregonians will have a tax decrease. Compliments of the voters who raised the taxes with Measure 66. On January 1, the top two rates, the 10.8% and the 11% rate, go down to 9.9%, and that provides a significant tax decrease for the wealthiest Oregonians. This legislature in 2009 rightly raised, and importantly, raised taxes and fees related to transportation to address our transportation infrastructure. Those tax increases hit the lowest income workers the hardest. They're as a share of their income. And increasing the earned income credit would help address those taxes, which are regressive as far as affecting working families. And last, I would just say that, you know, we have a $3.5 billion revenue shortfall, which, if there's any committee that's well aware of that, it's this one, maybe perhaps more than even the Ways and Means Committee. And, you know, people said, why are you coming to the legislature? All fall, people would say to us, why are you going to the legislature again to increase the earned income credit? That's only going to make the problem worse. And we've said all along that this legislature will either extend or enhance or create a new tax credit or other tax expenditure. and despite the revenue shortfall. And as you know, there's a number that are up for sunset, and some will probably get extended. We think the low-income working families who rely upon the EITC should be first in line, that they're the ones hardest hit by the recession, and they ought to be the first in line for the tax expenditures.
Thank you. Who wants to go next?
Good afternoon. My name is Reverend Chuck Curry, and I'm a minister in the United Church of Christ. My professional life has been spent working on issues related to homelessness and poverty, and I come today to support SB 349, the Improved and Earned Income Tax Credit, which is supported by Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon and other faith organizations in our state. The leaders of the National Council of Churches recently released a statement that read in part, "There is no greater concern among the churches of Christ than for those in this nation who live in poverty. This could hardly be otherwise, because Jesus himself lived among the poor, loving them, eating and drinking with them, healing them, and speaking words of justice and assurance that God's own love for the poor is unsurpassed. Each day, our churches, alongside other faith traditions, work to alleviate poverty by providing faith-based social service programs, volunteers for local programs, and donations of money to area nonprofits. As the acting minister of Salem's First Congregational United Church of Christ, I see people come to our church each day seeking emergency assistance. We are unable to meet the needs of the human tidal wave that come to our door each day, men, women, and families with children. Ronald Reagan once called the Earned Income Tax Credit the best anti-poverty tool that government could wield. A vote in favor of SB 349 would help those of us in the faith community better partner with our state government in the fight to end poverty. Churches and other faith communities are not equipped to undertake this great moral challenge alone. We desperately need the state of Oregon to enact tax policies that help people lift themselves out of poverty and hopelessness. Passage of this piece of legislation could be one of the most significant achievements of this session. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and friends. my name is Nicole McKinney, and I'm the lead outreach lead community outreach specialist for Multnomah County's Commission on Children, Families, and Community. But most importantly, I am a mom here in Oregon, single mom, that is, of three teenagers. I don't know how that happened. but as the team leader of a project, I'm the team leader for a project called Family Economic Security Project, also known in our county as the FES Project. And in conjunction with myself and bilingual staff, three bilingual staff that speak Spanish, we have contacted over 2,000 consumers in Multnomah County to educate them about the tax credits and free tax prep. And most importantly, myself and my team have created attractive flyers and information pamphlets to bring awareness to EITC. And we are shocked, just like the testimony that we heard before, that the folks that would qualify for this look like everybody. And I have been to farmers markets and found different folks. I've been to fix-it fairs, neighborhood community fairs, schools, and faith-based places to find these folks and educate them about this. And especially like the woman that was sitting here who said she was single and she had two or three jobs. And those are the folks that I personally made a connection with, especially the woman who was going to Mount Hood Community College and was working at Starbucks and became an intern with me. And I was able to show her that she would get money back. And she normally just turned in her her paperwork and just said, fix it up. And she was missing over those credits, and she was really, really living in a really low state, like living on someone's couch. And so that really, she was really, really impressed by the fact that I was able to bring dollars to her. But more importantly, my personal story begins just a few years back when myself, I was unemployed, and I was living off of TANF and food stamps with three teenagers. And I believe maybe $500 in cash was what I was given on a card to support my family. And I was taking TriMet, the bus system there, to get to and for at a workforce center to hear about employment. every Friday. But it was that Friday that I came and I heard a woman who is now my coworker, Lindsay McBride, who spoke and gave a great presentation about EITC and about a place where I could get my taxes done for free. And that made a huge difference for me and my family, because earning that EITC credit allowed me to purchase a vehicle to get to and from the job that I now hold with the county. The experience, most importantly, it inspired me, first off, to become an intern with the CCFC, because I knew that the work was so important. So while I was earning my TANF check, that some people look down on me and say that, that TANF people, they just lay around and eat bonbons and, you know, sit around and watch TV. Well, I gave 30 hours a week to Multnomah County, talking to citizens of Oregon, Multnomah County, telling them about these credits, and also making it really, like I said before, attractive products that would appeal to everyone, and also editing a book called People Financial Literacy for All Incomes. And this particular my goal today is to show support for this, because today I can honestly say, when I had no dollars, even though I earn a living wage, I had nothing hardly in the account, maybe $20, and I went and I had an electronic disbursement of my actual EITC in my account. I was able to make it to Salem. But my current goal is to offer practical tips and strategies for successful saving and money management to those who are able to still earn this. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your work, both as a volunteer and a justifiably
paid person. Yes, ma'am. Now I'm working now.
Yes,
thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next panel, Janet Bird, Glendora Claybrooks, and Patty Whitney Wise.
Chair Burdick and members of the committee, my name is Janet Bird, and I'm the Executive Director of Neighborhood Partnerships, which is a statewide nonprofit organization that works to create opportunities for low-income Oregonians to build stability and financial security. Thank you for the chance to speak with you today in support of SB 349. I'm here today on behalf of Neighborhood Partnerships, as well as two coalitions in which we take a leadership role, the Housing Alliance and Oregon Thrives. Neighborhood Partnerships and the two coalitions have long taken the view that we can't think about community needs and isolated issue headings, but that we need to work across systems and programs to create unified approaches to helping individuals, families, and communities meet their full potential. With that view, we wholeheartedly support the Earned Income Tax Credit expansion represented in SB 349. It's a tool that will help hardworking families in Oregon afford their rent, put food on their tables, pay down debt, or make a one-time purchase like car tires, or even put a little bit away in an emergency fund. We know that we all benefit when families in our communities can get ahead through hard work and when they can reduce their financial stress. When residents stay stable in their homes, kids stay in the same classroom over the school year and focus on schoolwork, while parents can more easily focus on family goals. Neighborhood Partnerships was a partner with a national organization, the Corporation for Enterprise Development, in their most recent Assets and Opportunities Scorecard, and I provided you with copies of that with my testimony. The scorecard looks across the country at a set of indicators of economic well-being and makes recommendations for state policy action in 12 areas. A policy priority is the adoption of a robust earned income tax credit at the state level. To help low and moderate income workers afford food and other needs, one of their CFED's top policy recommendations is to increase the value of Oregon's earned income tax credit. CFED finds that expanding the EITC in Oregon will reduce asset poverty, and asset poverty is an indication of how long families could survive or households could survive if their income was interrupted. And households are considered asset poor if they couldn't survive for 3 months with an income interruption. When the research was done, which was a couple years ago now, so it was the data points are a little old, 25% of Oregonians were asset poor. Studies show that families use the EITC to build economic assets and pay off debts, which would help escape asset poverty and move low and moderate income families towards financial security and social mobility. CFED also found that expanding the EITC here in Oregon would lift additional families out of poverty and boost living standards. You've heard testimony already today to support that as well. In summary, expanding Oregon's EITC will benefit households in all corners of our state and put money back into Oregon communities. I urge your support of this important legislation. Thank you again for the chance to be here.
Thank you, Glendora.
Thank you, Senator Burdick and members of the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. My name is Glendora Claybrooks, and I am here today speaking on the behalf of the Urban Portland League to garner your support in the passing of the SB 349 related to an increase from 6% to 18% in the earned income tax credit. I was born and raised on a plantation in a small town called Blytheville, Arkansas. My divorced mother and I migrated to the north in the 60s, and since then, my teen and adult years have been burdened with financial struggles, personal hardships, and hand-to-mouth existence. Working many years as an underemployed and divorced parent, yes, I can identify with the EITC increase, its problems, the importance of it, and its benefits. Having already heard that Oregon is the minority of states that collects income tax from working families living in below the poverty line. But in addition to that, other taxes and fees in Oregon's revenue system impact the low-income communities. For example, the January 1st, 2011 gas tax increase, along with the vehicle fees that already affect this population, takes even a bigger bite out of their wallets in order to sustain their livelihoods. And this, when compared to other households, why is the EITC important? It's important because it adds financial benefit to the disadvantaged populations of all individuals, families, and especially Black Americans who are underemployed. We, the Urban League, know that Black unemployment and underemployment populations suffer remarkable earning disproportionalities when compared to the household incomes of white. The need. We believe the state of Oregon, according to the State of Black Oregon report published in 2009, showed that the median income of black-headed households was less than two-thirds that of white households, a gap that remained unchanged since 1990. And there is recent data to support that. In Multnomah County alone, it shows that while only 7% of white families live in poverty, 32% of all Black American families do. 38% of Black children live in households and incomes below the federal poverty level. Now, the benefits and policy solution for EITC, first, we're here today to appeal to you and share with you that we one solution is to improve the state income tax credit from 6% to 18%. This would benefit and enable the unemployed populations that already experience disparities in household income, excuse me, child and family poverty rates with critical support. It would additionally allow income dollars to be generated into the economy. And these funds would then help pay toward the utilities such as gas and electric bills, buying clothes and other necessities. The EITC dollars would be spent quickly and locally. It would inject state tax dollars into communities throughout Oregon, cut taxes for 1 in 7 households, specifically targeted to the low-income families with children. And it would boost the average EITC's household earnings to about $215 a year for a family of four at the poverty line. It would mean about $587 each year. It would benefit over 220,000 households around the state of Oregon. In conclusion, the state EITC is the most targeted way to improve the tax system within the families with children. This bill, the 349, calls for an increase from 6% to 18%. An increase in the state of Oregon is crucial and necessary among the poor population. It would create a widening in the poverty gap, and state governments are eliminating or reducing social services. For me, when I filed my taxes 3 days ago and I was told that I would get $300 back, I was elated. I was elated. Not that it was so much money, but it was money that would help me to sustain at least my electric bill over the next 3 months so that I could have light, prepare meals, and keep warm both day and night. I would say to you that I am totally not without, I would not choose to be in the low-income bracket. However, I have had over 300 hours of college education with significant achievement in advanced degrees. However, when I leave the interviews, I am left with a feeling of I've just endured, I am just a product of the Dahl study. So my appeal to you is to please increase and encourage increase in this EITC so that it can benefit the larger population. Thank you for listening, and thanking you in advance for your earnest consideration in supporting this important increase in the EITC.
Thank you very much. I might want to remind everyone that when you submit written testimony, you don't need to read it because we have copies up here. And if you just want to summarize it, that would be great. Okay, Patty.
Thank you. Patty Whitney Wise, Executive Director for the Oregon Hunger Task Force. Thank you for the time before this committee today. You've heard this bill before, I know, and we keep coming back because we truly believe that this is one of the most important tax credits you could ever pass. Hunger and poverty have increased dramatically with this recession. That's not a big surprise to any of you up there. Coupled with food inflation, gas price inflation, and other inflations that hit low-income families the hardest, this tax credit would help these families mightily to continue to put food on the table, especially those with lower-wage jobs. The EITC is really one of the best tools we have, not only because that money is spent right back in the community, but because it rewards hard work and it promotes opportunity for families, helps them take that next step up the ladder. If they don't have to worry as much about their basic everyday expenses, they can pay more attention to moving up the income ladder and succeeding. You've already heard much about the Oregon tax system being upside down and the fact that our poorest workers pay more percentage-wise than higher-income workers. We feel like expanding the Oregon Earned Income Tax Credit is a simple way to make Oregon's tax system much fairer, and that it builds opportunities for families and communities, especially if you look at the maps of where the families are who apply for the Earned Income Tax Credit. While there certainly are many in the urban areas, in a number of the rural counties, there's upwards of 20% of taxpayers who file for the Earned Income Tax Credit. And you know how important that money is, especially back in those rural communities, to help stimulate their economies. So for all of these reasons, and in addition because of the fallout from the national housing crisis and the bumpy road ahead, we strongly urge you to put this tax credit at the top of your list when there is money to spend on any tax credit, because of the impact for these families and the communities and how much that will help them with the future of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all for the work you do in the community. Okay, next, Damon Isaiah Turner, Stacy Michelson, and Andrea Peluso. Welcome.
Chair Burdick, Senators Morris, Hass, and Telfer, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I am Damon Isaiah Turner, Project Manager for the People of Color Health Equity Collaborative, or POCHEC, a statewide network of 20 community constituency-based organizations. POCHEC's vision is an Oregon where all residents have equal health outcomes regardless of status. To eliminate disparities, the focus must be on the social determinants of health, including education, employment, income, environment, and transportation. And that is the link to the earned income tax credit. The expansion of the EITC is a proven model to move families out of poverty. To be direct, one of the concerns regarding Senate Bill 349 is that given the present economic cycle in which our state and nation find itself, questioning whether there is money to increase this particular tax credit in Oregon from 6% to 18% to match the federal EITC is economically feasible. We believe that it is a matter of priority, and if you are considering any tax expenditures to stimulate the economy, the EITC should be at the top of the list. According to taxcreditresources.org, for tax year 2010, 23 states and the District of Columbia offer state-level earned income tax credits for their residents. The range in percentages that states offer as a percentage of the federal EITC is as high as 32% for Vermont and as low as 3.5% for the state of Louisiana. Our neighbor to our north, Washington, will be at 10% of the federal EITC as of 2012. I do believe in the importance of targeted incrementalism as a policy approach that can be beneficial. And it's important that as a state, we are able to look at the EITC as an investment for the present and the future in assisting both families living below the poverty line and for the present and in the future and assist and those that until very recently within the middle class and being able to help complement a disproportionate amount of their income being spent on income taxes, rising gas prices, and day-to-day items that most of us spend income on, such as daycare for our children, educational and health expenses, and monthly household expenses. Of course, the function of the EITC alone is not as a cure-all. In addition, it is also not intended as a means to stay at a particular income level for the duration of one's life. However, it is important to note how the EITC has been utilized as a tool to move those from the working class to the middle class. A March 2010 report by the Democratic Leadership Council in regards to the federal EITC notes how millions are moved out of poverty and how certain data implies that literally millions more of Americans could move out of poverty and be put on the path to prosperity if programs such as the EITC achieved better penetration and exposure. In conjunction with other efforts in which each of you is involved regarding ways to generate jobs and business development for the state, the EITC must be viewed in the broader context of a comprehensive approach to creating a bigger tax base for the state of Oregon, in addition to a more economically and psychologically healthy citizenry in which economic development and sustainability is able to thrive. And that is the link between POCHEC's vision of an Oregon where all residents have equal health outcomes regardless of status and the EITC. Those social determinants of health, including income and employment, are critical. Senators, I respectfully request that any time this session you consider the expansion of tax expenditures, keep expansion of the EITC in the forefront of your deliberations, given that is a true economic driver to help the economic well-being of Oregonians. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, I am Stacey Michelson, Policy Associate with Children First for Oregon. Children First's mission is to make Oregon a place where all children can thrive, and we know that one of the most basic elements for children's future success is to have a stable financial and home environment. So I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 349. So we know that that will allow, as you've heard from other panelists today, will help parents in a variety of Oregon communities better meet the needs of their children. As already mentioned, the Earned Income Tax Credit is a proven program. Nationally, it's the largest support program for working class families. In 2009, it helped 3.3 million children rise out of poverty, and that's a big issue here in Oregon. We've currently got over 166,000 children who are living in poverty. And that's not only an issue for those families, but it's an issue for all of us, because we know that children who grow up in poverty face a number of adverse outcomes. They're more likely to have chronic health problems as children, to experience hunger, to die as children, to drop out of high school, and ultimately to be poor as adults as well. And what that means is that in the end, we're going to end up paying more in social services, whether that be health care, education costs, public safety, and in particular, the child welfare system, which is an area where Children First works quite closely. And over a third of child welfare cases, neglect is involved in those cases. And neglect can be the extreme that many of us think of, but in a lot of those situations, it's something much more basic, and of families not being able to meet the needs of their children. They simply don't have the resources to have enough food in the refrigerator to provide adequate clothing and shelter. And that's a big issue. Ultimately, kids in foster care cost the state upwards of $26,000 a year. We believe it's a much wiser investment to provide those families with resources on the front end so that we're not removing kids from their homes and spending a lot more on the back end once they actually end up in the child welfare system. As Mr. Turner mentioned, I want to point out that this is an area where Oregon was once sort of a leader, and we're kind of letting our kids down in this area. As Mr. Turner mentioned, there are 23 other states with earned income tax credits. When Oregon first passed the EITC in 1997, we were among 8 states with credits. Now there are 14 states that have an EITC that is 10% or more of the federal EITC. So we're definitely no longer the leader in this area of supporting children that we once were. So I am here to encourage you to look at this expansion. It's definitely something that would support Oregon families, ultimately supporting children. We all know the budget situation, you know, across the board. We're looking at where we can get the biggest bang for our buck. Where can we find savings? Where can we invest in preventative services on the front end? And ultimately, the EITC is one of those services. If we give families the resources to meet their children's needs now, we're going to be spending a lot less trying to make up for those unmet needs later on. So please support Senate Bill 349, support Oregon's children. Thank you.
Andrea? Ooh. Chair Burdick, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. My name is Andrea Peluso. I am the Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon, which is a nonprofit working to build an economic system that works for Oregon's families. We support workplace and public policy changes that promote economic security among families and value the important work that families do in raising kids and caring for other family members in need. I'm also testifying today on behalf of the Voice Business Alliance as a member of their policy team. The Voice Business Alliance has endorsed the Earned Income Tax Credit, Senate Bill 349, because an equitable tax system promotes sustainable economic security for the families of our state and also encourages additional investment in our local businesses and economies. We support Senate Bill 349 because too many of Oregon's working families are living in poverty, and we know that Oregon can do better than matching only 6% of the federal earned income tax credit. As you've heard, this is one of the lowest matches in the country, and I believe it's a mark of shame for Oregon. On top of being one of the lowest state EITC rates, we know that Oregon's working poor pay some of the highest state income taxes in the country. And an increase to the EITC would result in a more balanced and fair tax system for our state's most vulnerable workers and would allow valuable state capital to be reinvested in our local economies. I'm here to tell you that professionally, but I also have a personal experience, as many of us have, with the Earned Income Tax Credit that I wanted to share with you today. When I was a teenager, my parents divorced. I lived with my mother, who was able to claim the Earned Income Tax Credit. for a couple of years. She was raising my sister and I alone. She herself had been raised by a single mother and lived most of her childhood in poverty, but when married to my dad, had really secured a pretty solidly middle-class life for us. When they divorced, we ended up in poverty, as is the case for many single-parent-led families in Oregon. In fact, in the county where I live, Multnomah County, about half of single mothers live at or below the federal poverty line. We weren't in poverty forever, as is also the case for a lot of families that claim the Earned Income Tax Credit. Instead, the poverty we experienced marked an already difficult transition from two parents to one. During the years that my mother claimed the Earned Income Tax Credit, on top of raising two teenage daughters by herself, she worked one full-time job, another part-time job on the weekends, and was a full-time college student. She worked so hard she literally gave herself stomach ulcers, but she remained determined to show my sister and I that we could make a better life for ourselves. She worked in a job that paid her the equivalent of today's minimum wage in Oregon, and after paying our $600 for rent, she was left with only a few hundred dollars a month with which to pay our utilities and groceries. Gas, medical copays, school books, clothing were luxuries that we couldn't afford most months. It's a testament to her, I think, that I never knew how close to the margin we actually lived. I didn't question why she walked to work the last week of every month. Until I was an adult, I didn't find out that that was because we didn't have gas to put it in the car. It was my responsibility as a teenager to do the grocery shopping for the family, and after weeks of going without my favorite things, I went over my $75 budget and bought some extra stuff, came home and told my mom, and she cried because the check bounced. All of her hard work has paid off. She graduated from college and is now comfortably unable to claim the Earned Income Tax Credit. She raised myself and my daughter to be two professional social workers, also unable to claim the Earned Income Tax Credit. When I asked her recently about what it meant to her at that time, she said that the Earned Income Tax Credit gave her an opportunity to exhale for 1 second. It meant that she could buy us new eyeglasses, get new tires for the family car, or pay mounting bills. There are a lot of hardworking Oregon families like mine who live too close to the margin, and I think modestly increasing the Earned Income Tax Credit incrementally to 18% of the federal credit won't put Oregon at the top of the state credit list, but it will help families throughout our state feel like their hard work building towards a better future has not gone unrecognized. And I sincerely hope that you will take this opportunity to help them. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Our next panel is Philip Kennedy Wong and John Mullen. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. For the record, Philip Kennedy Wong, representing the Oregon Food Bank, and I sort of have the dubious honor of actually lobbying on this issue for another organization, and here I am, you know, years later, and I'm still lobbying on the same issue, albeit I guess the better news is that, you know, we actually do have an EITC, so I'm happy that we made some progress. Let me just start very briefly just by summarizing why the Oregon Food Bank is supportive of Senate Bill 349. You know, our mission, and some of you may already know this, it's not just delivering food to people who are hungry, it's to eliminate poverty and its root causes. And for the Oregon Food Bank, poverty is related to your income. And so Senate Bill 349, obviously, would increase the income levels of many working Oregonians. And I want to highlight just a few things. You know, as some of you may have heard yesterday who heard me testify at the Senate Education Committee, you'll have before you that same document, which is a summary of a survey that the Oregon Food Bank conducted over the last year or so, which sort of gives Oregonians a sense of who's coming to the Oregon Food Bank for emergency food boxes. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is that a good number of people going to the Oregon Food Bank for emergency food boxes are either already have a job or are looking for work. And that's, you know, roughly essentially the majority of folks coming to the Oregon Food Bank for services. And about 16% of that actually have
jobs, and they're working full-time, but yet they still need emergency food boxes. And it kind of gives you a sense of why the Earned Income Tax Credit is very important, because as most of you know, you've spent years studying the Oregon tax system, especially the income tax system. It's a rather flat income tax, a rather flat income tax system that we have here, because it starts at a very low wage level. So really for us and then at the Oregon Food Bank, Senate Bill 349 is really about restoring fairness to the Oregon tax system. It's not, you know, like another handout per se for people in need, but it's about making the tax system very fair. And we think that the Earned Income Tax Credit would move us in that right direction. And lastly, what I'll leave you with is one of the things that we've heard a lot, obviously, is the need for more jobs. You know, people who are coming to the food bank when they get, you know, food boxes, obviously, you know, a lot of them aren't happy to be in that situation. But the other thing that we've heard, in addition to not just having more jobs, but having jobs with higher wages, jobs that are family wage jobs, and certainly Oregon has a long ways to go in having more family wage jobs. So this is why this bill is important, and you know, we encourage you to continue to explore and hopefully take some action on this. And thank you for your patience and your willingness to listen to us today.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen here as the co-chair of the Human Services Coalition of Oregon Tax and Revenue Committee. I'll just begin by saying that your staff, who are very, very adequately serve you, have seen us over on the House side on multiple occasions talking about things like tax expenditures and capital gains. The reason that we're interested as human service entities about these issues is the effect on the budget. And we have adopted principles of fairness, adequacy, and stability. So often we're talking about ways in which we can curtail the growth of tax expenditures. There is one major exception that we always talk about that we think is one because it promotes another one of our values of fairness, and that's the Earned Income Tax Credit. We have been longtime supporters of that. As I know, all of you have thought about this on many occasions when we're thinking about tax reform. But what we have before you today is Senate Bill 349, and we know this is a very difficult session. But you've had an opportunity to hear some very compelling stories today. I just am always amazed when I sit in the audience and hear the struggle that people have had and the successes that they have had in their lives and what the Earned Income Tax Credit has meant to them. I just want to draw your attention to the handout for Oregonians for Working Families. This should come with a complimentary magnifying glass because these are all of the organizations that are supporting the Earned Income Tax Credit, and they are really far-reaching. It's everything from AARP to Children First for Oregon, to Clackamas County, to New Seasons. So there's organizations large and small that are involved in the support of Senate Bill 349. We know how much, as we think across the state, how much this means to individuals, but we also are cognizant of the fact that this is so very important to local communities and their economic health to have those dollars spent back in their local community. So we know this is a difficult session, and there are many things in front of you. And as we think about all of the possibilities of things that may be done this session, we hope that in the final analysis you return to look at Senate Bill 349 and think about how, in the final solution to the budget and to the tax expenditure side of the equation, that 349 has a place there. I want to just end by saying that I want to thank all of you for your time and attention today. I want to especially thank Senator Rosenbaum, who has been our champion on this issue year after year. We hope to have a cause to celebrate at some point in time in the future as far as these efforts are concerned. But thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you. And again, thank you for all the work you do in the community, both of you. Okay, Darlene Huntress and Shoshan Tamasweet. Guess you're all by yourself.
Oh, you know, I knew I would be too. It's never easy to follow John Mullen, but Chair Burdick, Senator Haas, and Senator Morse. My name is Darlene Huntress, and I am the political organizer for Oregon Action. We are a statewide, essentially a social and racial justice organization. So you're probably wondering why on earth we would be here talking about a tax issue. And, you know, we're not tax attorneys. We're not economists. We don't know very much about those sort of things. But we do serve, by virtue of the work that we do, most of the members of our organization are low and moderate income families who, and we're really here on their behalf. We just felt morally obligated to come to you today and support SB 349. These are families who were struggling long before the Great Recession hit. They are the families who were crushed the hardest when the recession hit, and they will certainly be the families who will recover last. And, you know, I'm not going to read my testimony to you. I don't think there's any need. You've heard some compelling stories. I would just say this. It's hard to imagine that an Oregonian family with a full-time working person in that family should have to live in poverty. That's a fact that we should find unacceptable. But unfortunately, that is exactly what many working families in Oregon are facing. The jobs that they have simply do not afford them the sort of comfort that you have when you go to sleep at night, knowing that you're going to pay your bills and your mortgage and your rent. These are families that are struggling every single day just to buy groceries, just to pay their rent, just to pay utilities. And the earned income tax, increasing the percentage of the earned income tax, it's just really good public policy in my mind, because it encourages work, particularly for the working families that would be affected and that would benefit from this. So I don't envy any of you. I can't imagine sitting in your chairs and having to make the sort of decisions that you're going to have to make this session with the challenges that you face. I trust that you will do it with compassion and that you will do it in a way that is least harmful. But like every, you know, the one thing that everyone has said here today is that if the chance comes to work on tax expenditures, we just urge you to look at SB 349 first. Look at the earned income tax credit first, because, you know, even though these are hard times, this is the very right time. This is the best time to support and try to lift up these families from the positions that they're in. So I thank you for your hard work, and thank you for giving me just a few minutes to talk with you all by myself. So
thank you for coming. Okay, that concludes our sign-up list. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak on this? Okay, well, I want to thank you all for coming. This is a very important issue. We've had a hearing on this every session. We are seriously looking at our opportunity to move forward on this, and I especially wanted to echo the thanks that others have given to Senator Rosenbaum for her leadership on this. Okay, close the public hearing on Senate Bill 349, and we are adjourned. And we are adjourned.